Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message covers one of the problems that we all have had at one time or another. The message title is, So You Had a Bad Day. When you last had a bad day, what did you do about it? Did you grump and complain all day, or did you get over it? Let's see what Pastor Kyle says is a solution to this problem.
You know, when I was setting up the camera today, I don't think I set up a preset for this spot over here. So, apologize to the online. We'll get it worked out and work through this as best we can. So, I'm holding in here in my hand a Bible. You've got multiple Bibles, don't you? Do you carry those, like, do you bring this together all the time in the church, like in a bag? Take two books? Okay. That's great. I mean, so you can look things up, right? And you can see and learn things about what God is teaching us in the Bible, right? How many books are there in the Old Testament? 39. That's exactly right. You know, you've come a long way since I started asking these questions. You must study probably at home, don't you? You study? No? You just know it. Oh, well, good for you. I mean, some people just comes natural, I guess. That's awesome. So, great job. Well, today, we're going to be mentioning a number of things, but one is going to come out of Proverbs. Do you remember what section of the Bible that Proverbs comes from? Nope, it's going to be the Old. Yeah, so that's okay. But something to learn for next time. Anyways, Proverbs were these little nuggets of wisdom that many of them were written by King Solomon, who was a king in Israel a long, long time ago. But it's little things that even still apply to us today that are good things to know. I'm going to read you one verse. It's a very simple verse, chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 1. It says, "A gentle answer turns anger away, but mean words stir up anger." What do you think that means? A gentle answer turns anger away, but mean words stir up anger. What do you think that means? Don't know. What if maybe you were busy playing, maybe you're busy doing homework, okay, something legitimate, you're doing homework, and your mom said, "Hey, Mason, would you come set the table for me?" And what if you were to say, "I can't right now, Mom, because I'm doing my homework." Would that be a gentle answer or a harsh answer? That'd be harsh. What do you think that kind of an answer would get kind of response from your mom?
I think you already know.
I think I already know, yeah. Okay. It might get a bell. Okay, yeah, you might get a bell. You might get a little something from that. So what would be a better answer, if your mom asked you to come? Okay, but you could say it in a nicer way, right? Like, I'm almost finished with my homework. Can you just give me just a couple minutes and I'll be finished, right? Would that be a gentle answer? Yeah, so the way we respond to somebody can really make a difference on how well they feel towards us, doesn't it? So a gentle answer turns anger away. And we saw the example of a mean word stir up anger. So we want to try to go for the gentle answer, you know, because that way people are going to be, it'll be a little better for everybody with our relationship with people. Do you think so? Yeah. Do you have any questions about the Bible or about God? No? I wish you would. I think you pretty much got it all down pat. So will you pray with me then? Okay. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us when we talk to people to give a gentle answer, so that they will be nice to us too. Amen. All right, outstanding. Two weeks ago, while I was out of town, Debbie had a bad day. While driving our truck to a medical appointment, she had a flat tire. Well, she phoned a friend and he got her to her appointment. And then, when she got back home, one of our cows was having complications in calving, and the baby was stuck. Again, with the help of a friend, they were able to pull the calf free and save the mother and her little bull. And all while her husband was thousands of miles away working, she was stuck handling everything. Now, either of these events would qualify someone for having a bad day. But both at once, awful. You can show the next slide, I think. So, fortunately, the calf was okay. She was able to get everything good. So, it came out happy, despite everything. So, I think that it's fair to say that everything was not okay on this day, except for the outcome there. And now, out of this life experience, I have a new message to share. But I thought that bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. I mean, isn't that the way the world lives? Did Debbie deserve the bad day that she got? You know, in the passage that Jonathan read to us earlier, it speaks of two tragic events during Jesus' ministry. The first relates to the procurator of Judea, with whom we're all familiar, Pontius Pilate. You know, he was Rome's governor of Judea, which included Jerusalem and the temple. And there had been a procurator in this role for around 25 years at this point. See, after the death of Herod the Great, his kingdom was divided into four parts, which are called tetrarchies. Tetrarchy means one-fourth. So one-fourth of King Herod's kingdom was given to Herod Philip, who's often referred to just as Philip. Now remember, Herod the Great loved himself and his name so much that he named each of his sons after him. You know, George Foreman adopted this practice and named each of his sons, you know, by the same name too. All of them were named George. So we differentiate the sons by their second name. So Philip, for example, was Herod Philip, and he ruled over Trachonitis. Another son was Herod Archelaus, or just Archelaus is how we oftentimes refer to him. And then also there's Herod Antipas, sometimes referred to as Herod, or Herod the Tetrarch, as mentioned in the Gospels. He was another son that he had, and he ruled over Galilee and Perea. Now, as the ruler of Galilee, Herod Antipas had jurisdiction over Nazareth and the place where Jesus was raised. Remember that this was the Herod that interrogated Jesus when Pilate sent him to him just before he was crucified. And Herod Archelaus did not last long as a ruler there. He was exceptionally cruel, and Rome banished him to Gaul. It was then, in about the year 6, that Rome set up a procurator to rule over Judea, Idumea, and Samaria from then on. And Pilate, Pontius Pilate, was the fifth governor in this place. You know, the Jewish historian Josephus provides numerous examples when the Jews and Pilate clashed. One incident involved Pilate's placing images of Caesar up in the temple. Well, you can imagine how well that went over with the Jews. Another involved the use of temple money to help pay for an aqueduct to Jerusalem, money that should have been used for temple improvements and stuff. Now, the events that are mentioned in Luke's account are not detailed in any other historical source. And the same is for the Tower of Siloam, that apparently it was a structure and, you know, it had fallen and landed on people below, killing them. It is apparent, you know, from the context of what we see here in this narrative, that these accounts were current events, things that were happening contemporaneously or there with Jesus. And the followers of Jesus believe that these events must have occurred because the people had done something to deserve it. Jesus sets the record straight and found a teaching moment. The people who died were not greater sinners than any others. They were sinners, sure, but nothing so outrageous that warranted such an end. And then Jesus then illustrated that we never know when our time will be up. Once we die, our opportunity to repent and to choose to be on Jesus' team is up. And it's an entirely volunteer group. If we're on the fence or just not on Jesus' team when our time is up, then we're never going to be on Jesus' team. Jesus' words were, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It wasn't that these people were bad. They just had a very bad day. So bad days don't just happen to bad people. We all get them. So what causes them? Well, just because you're a Christian doesn't give us a free pass on bad days. We are all going to experience days when things are not okay. We're going to face our own life's version of flat tires and cows with delivery complications. So what do we do? How should Christians face bad days? With attitude. The right attitude. Now, Revelation tells us in 21, verses 3 to 5, that everything will be made right at the end. And in that book, John writes, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." In the end, everything will be okay. If things aren't okay, then it must not be the end. Well, that's nice, Pastor, but how does that help me now? When is the end? I need things to be made okay right now. We'll start by looking for something we can learn from the situation. You know, many times I've found that there's a lesson here. And it's better to learn it the first time so we don't have to go through, do this again and avoid the homework where we got to do this two or three times. Mark Ballinger provides a list of some good ideas on his Apply God's Word website for these kinds of days. He says, here are some that we can readily use to help when things are more challenging and have the potential to overwhelm us. First off, don't label it a bad day. When you state aloud that it's a bad day, then every little obstacle is going to reinforce your thought and compound the problem. There are spiritual forces at work all around us. Don't let them know they're winning. Second is, forgive offenders quickly. You see, negative feelings linger and we can project them onto others. If we get stuck stewing about what someone did to us, we're wasting precious resources on the situation. And we're also less equipped to handle other issues. We have a finite amount of time and a finite amount of resources at our disposal to get through the day. Don't waste them on something that we can resolve quickly through forgiveness. It will clear our mind and allow us to focus on other issues throughout your day. Another one is to practice Proverbs 15:1. I just read that with Mason. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Can you tell when your wife or husband, co-worker or friend is having a bad day when you strike up a conversation with them? Usually it's in the way that they talk with you, right? The anger that they have inside comes pouring out of their mouth. Solomon wisely noted in Proverbs, he said that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In other words, we need to watch our tongue, or we will get others against us at the very time we need them to be helping us. Another one is to practice Philippians 2, verse 14, written by Paul. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Wow. Coming from Paul. Paul had much to complain about. He was shipwrecked 3, maybe 4 times. Never get on a boat with that guy. He spent hours in the ocean after his boat was destroyed while a prisoner on his way to Rome. He was beaten, stoned, flogged, left for dead. If anyone had a good reason to complain, it was Paul. But notice what the encouraging words that he wrote to the believers in Philippi. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Don't play the victim card, and don't go around accusing others as the reason you're having a bad day. Instead, suck it up and focus on what you can control. No complaining, no arguing. Instead of complaining, you can enlist someone to help you through it, which is the next one. And that's to share with or to encourage a friend. This is not the same as complaining, because you're not accusing or playing the victim. Instead, a friend is someone we can confide in and get encouragement from. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to help each other bear our burdens. When we're experiencing a series of bad events, having someone to come alongside us and encouraging us can make a huge difference in our outlook on the day. If a friend comes to us when they are experiencing challenges, help them to remember the bigger picture. If someone is being spiritually attacked, remind them the enemy is against what your friend is doing. We always get more flack when we're over the target. Remind them of the benefits that they are bringing to the kingdom and the vital role that they play. It's almost impossible to have a bad day when you are encouraging others. So when a friend comes to us because they need some encouragement, don't look at it as a chore. We can get something out of it too by encouraging them. Next one is to think on God. And thinking on God is a powerful way to improve our circumstances. It can be through listening, like to a sermon or to your worship or praise music. It can also come from praying to God and in reading the Bible. When we focus ourselves toward God, our attitudes change. Paul sums this up in Romans 8:6. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. If you want peace, focus your mind toward God. When you have many hardships, one of the last places we tend to go is prayer. And it should be the first. Many times, the things happening to us are outside of our control. When we recognize that we can remember that everything in creation is under God's control, everything, hardships are one of the best ways to draw closer to God. Remember the Israelites in the time of the judges? When things were going right, the Israelites tended to move away from God. When they were oppressed, they prayed. And God delivered. Bringing your hardships to God is similar to sharing burdens with a friend. God can encourage us and intercede for us. But regardless, praying brings us closer to God, which is the best outcome anyway. And reading the gospel is another way to think on God. It's food for our soul. And if you're like me, I always feel good after a good meal. And of course, reading the Bible feeds your spirit, and it will also lift it at the same time. And share the gospel. There's nothing as uplifting as sharing the good news with someone of how God loved that person enough that he was willing to suffer and die for that person, even if they were the only person on the planet. It's really hard to stay angry when we realize the depth of love God has for each of us. Even if the other person chooses not to accept it, it does our heart good to talk about it. And laugh. When is the last time you laughed but remained angry? It's almost impossible to stay mad when we experience something funny. You know, watching a TV comedy or brief but appropriate funny videos can just liven our day. God has a sense of humor, and we can see it by the playfulness of the animals in his creation. Tapping into that humor is good for the soul. And lastly, acts of random kindness. These are putting into practice what Paul wrote to us in Romans 12:21. It's related to last week's message. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Helping someone unexpectedly to put their groceries in their car, or mow the lawn of the neighbor who has health issues or is a single mom, are examples of great ways to brighten your mood and disposition. And you benefit them at the same time. It's a win-win. It's a way to be the one. As Christians, we are going to experience setbacks. We're going to have affliction. Bad things happen to all of us. If we're not a follower of Jesus, we need to get on the team now. Because for believers, in the end, everything will be okay. So if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And if it's not the end, the Lord still has work for us to do. Let's get busy. Let us pray. Father God, we live in a time when things don't always go the way we want. We face hardships and challenges. Sometimes these feel overwhelming. Help us to remember that we're on the winning team. And help us to remember that you will set everything right. We trust you. Holy Spirit, encourage us and remind us of this truth when we need it most. Amen.
Well, do you feel better already about having a bad day? I know I did after listening to that uplifting message. Remember these words the next time you are about to have a bad day, and I'll bet you headed off at the pass. Tune in again next time.